It's my husband. He's gone missing.
Missing?
I'm terribly worried. It's just Fred's never been gone this long before.
How long has he been missing?
Since the funeral.
Well, I can start right away.
You're a private investigator?
My profession is very complicated, okay? It's nuanced.
That's a lot of blood.
You beat people up and charge money?
Yeah.
Sad, isn't it?
How much would you charge to beat up my friend Janet?
What?
How much you got?
$20.
That's good. This conversation is over.
The mob is trying to spread its operation to Los Angeles. Somehow, my daughter Amelia is involved. Please, find her.
Seen this girl?
What's in it for me?
Oh, we can do this the easy way. We're currently doing it the easy way.
Whatever happened to offering me $20?
It's the recession. This is a high-profile case.
Made the newspapers.
Where is Amelia?
What the hell's going on?
Oh, you know, there's a guy coming to kill us. That kind of crap.
Hey, can you behave like a professional?
I'm sorry.
She's in danger, man. We have to do something about it.
She's dead.
She's not dead.
She's not dead.
Why do you think everyone involved with this case is dying? This is not you. You're not a murderer.
You just killed three people.
I know, but I'm saying deep down.
Look, if you come in here, you beat up on me. It's part of the job, I accept it. But what did you do? You pissed me off.
Before we go solving the crime of the century, let's deal with the rotting corpse.
I got a plan. Run.
Hey all, it's Chris.
And I'm Jack.
And we watched a movie.
Again.
We decided to watch The Nice Guys from 2016.
This was suggested to us, I believe, correct?
It was. Listener request.
This is probably the best one that we've gotten.
This is the most entertaining request that we've gotten. And, you know, this movie is a bit different, so we're just going to run through a quick synopsis and then just discuss what we liked about it. So, like, The Nice Guys is a movie from 2016 that follows these two guys that go on to a case involving a missing girl, and as they get involved in the case, they get into all these random hijinks and adventures. It involves Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe as the two lead investigators, and they're looking for a girl named Amelia. They quickly learn that Amelia is involved in this strange plot that involves the Detroit car industry, in which they have been lying about the need for like exhaust or some sort of converter, and she puts this on a pornographic film that gets released, but they, submerge. That's another word for that. They, like, suppress. They suppress the film and all the people by killing all of them. And these guys are trying to unravel this mystery throughout the movie. It's a really funny movie, despite how interesting this, like, case is.
You know, I didn't realize how convoluted it sounded until you just said that, all that.
Bro, I tried... It's like when I first tried to, like, describe Swordfish. Like,
this seems very plot-heavy, but it's really not.
It's really a perfect movie. It's a movie that, like, if you took out all the jokes and everything, it'd be a solid noir movie. Where it's a good mystery. You don't quite know what's happening, but by the end of it, everything is, like, everything collides really well with each other. Like, you know, the smog and everything. Because, like, it's a part of history where, like, America was so covered in smog from all the fucking cars that they were like, hey, after 6 p.m., don't go outside or you'll choke to death.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. We're Zoomers, so we don't exactly remember this time in history, but if you're older than, like, 30, well, no, if you're older than, like, 40, you probably do.
Older than 50, for sure you do.
Oh, definitely, dude. That's just, it's so, there's another movie that goes into this thing called No Sudden Move. Have you ever heard of that movie?
No.
Really good movie too, like kind of like this movie, but a little bit more serious. You should watch it sometime.
Well, good thing, because this movie is not serious.
No, exactly.
At all.
This movie's fun. It's a real fun time. Like, for example, one of my favorite scenes, just from the get-go, is, like, introducing us to, like, Ryan Gosling's character. He is taking a case from an old lady, and, like, she wants him to find her husband, and she's describing him and says his name, and Ryan Gosling sees on the mantle an urn with his name on it, and she's like, how long has your husband been missing? And she's like, since the funeral. And Ryan Gosling, being the upstanding detective he is, decides to take the case, still. And I'm like, oh, this, I love this character.
He's a private detective, Chris.
Yeah, he's a private detective.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, some police officers are detectives, and, you know, they take real cases.
Oh.
Ryan Gosling is a scumbag.
They ever mention...
Who will do anything to make money.
Yes.
Yes.
Did they ever mention if he used to be a detective or anything, or like a cop?
I don't remember, actually.
So many interesting things I'm starting to think about as I'm, like, looking at this movie. But, yeah, I...
This movie is terrible. There are too many plot holes. It doesn't make any sense.
Where's the motivation?
It's convoluted.
It's like, you know, Me, Myself, and Irene, but, you know, a stronger plot.
Right, I actually know what the plot is.
Mm-hmm. Plot actually matters?
See, in comedies, the plot usually doesn't really matter.
No, it's secondary to the jokes. It's just there to, like, connect these jokes.
Exactly. And this movie has a lot of jokes.
Oh my goodness, dude. There's so many jokes in this movie. Like, just, like, that's just, like, the first one there. But, like, even when, like, Russell Crowe and, like, Ryan Gosling first meet each other, it's hysterical. Like, Russell Crowe busts in because he got hired by this girl, Amelia, to, like, go stop Ryan Gosling from following her. And he's just beating the crap out of Ryan Gosling. And, like...
Do you mind if I have an apple?
Yeah. Doesn't really listen to his response, just takes the apple. But yeah, he breaks, like, part of his arm or whatever, like, really cleanly. It's so funny. Then he goes outside, has a yoo-hoo from his daughter, and just has a nice day after that. Well, until he gets home, I guess.
Chris, what is that?
Yoo-hoo is chocolate drink.
Chocolate drink?
It's chocolate drink.
What are you talking about?
You know, chocolate drink.
Is
I know
this,
I said it a little different.
Is this a cultural thing?
Another one is cultural differences. Yeah, it's just like how, you know, white people you don't use a rag to clean themselves.
That's irrelevant. We are talking right now about drinks. By now, everyone knows purple drink. I'm a big fan of blue drink.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of learning that white people don't use rags to clean themselves.
Can you please stop, Chris?
Are you even clean?
Soap is always clean, Chris. It's always clean.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
That's why soap is soap.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Come on, my fellow whites. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, come together, his fellow whites. Oh, goodness.
You know, when us fellow whites come together, it's usually not for a good thing.
It makes everyone concerned, even white people.
Hold up. Wait a minute. What are y'all doing? I'm not a big fan of big crowds, you know?
I like crowds. It just depends on the makeup.
Drag?
Ooh.
Is that too risky?
Not risky enough. Risky business.
We're already pushing the line right now.
We are. Dude, we're doing it again. Okay. All right. But yeah. Yeah, this movie is just... It's so good. It's so entertaining. And after that, like, they decide to, like, you know... He gets, like, jumped at his, like, place or whatever by these two guys. Did you want to talk about that at all?
Oh, getting jumped at his place?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The white guy is cocky as hell.
Yeah.
He is... talking all this shit. He's throwing Russell Crowe's fishes at him. Fishes. Fish?
His fish.
His yes. Fishies.
Fish is both singular and plural.
Yes, it is. But it's still awkward, regardless. Mm. I'm gonna stick to it. He's throwing his fishes at him.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Crowe's like, come on, man. Like, why you gotta do that? Like, well,
he's telling him to almost eat the fish, too. Like, come on, eat the fish. And he's like, no, stop doing
I'm gonna
this.
Make you eat this fish. What?
The other dude, Keith David, just in the background, like, what is this fool doing? Like,
he's just standing there all stern and tough, you know, the only serious person in the room.
Yes, he takes his job seriously, like.
I think they go over to, like, a safe somehow. Is it a safe?
Something. It's something in the other room. They don't really show it. It's off screen.
Yeah, and there's, like, a briefcase in there.
Yeah.
And, like, the white guy is like, oh, yeah, like, something's gotta be in here. And Russell Crowe's like, wait, don't look in that.
I wouldn't if I were you.
Something terrible is going to happen if you look in there. And sure enough, it's the, like, bank paint that comes up if you, like, rob a bank.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I don't know if that's just in movies or not. It certainly wasn't in Swordfish.
It was not in Swordfish, but I've heard of that, too, that they put
But
that.
They didn't take real dollars there.
No, it was all digital, man, because it was 2001, you know, cyberspace.
Future!
Cue techno music. Okay.
That was also in Swordfish.
It was. Oh, my God. All the terrible techno music. Okay, all right. But yeah.
Wrong film.
Russell Crowe uses a clever trick to get away from them, grabs a shotgun, and scares them off. He goes and hires Ryan Gosling in a very funny scene where, like, during the hiring, Ryan Gosling's daughter comes up to them and is like...
Is that her birthday party?
Yeah, they're at a bowling alley.
At the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the good old days, Chris, when birthday parties were at bowling alleys?
And not over Omegala or whatever the kids do nowadays.
You know, I feel like that's like a early teen thing, and then also when you're past the age of 30, that's also
having a party at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's because you can't drink, and then at a certain point, you don't really want to go get fucked up, so you go to a bowling alley.
One day, you're having your birthday party at the bowling alley. You're having $2 Miller High Lives. You have your own ball, Chris. And its own bag. Oh my God.
You just talked about when me and my grandfather used to go bowling.
Oh my God.
It's uncanny.
My favorite part was the arcade.
Oh God. Oh, God.
To this day, Chris, I own a switch comb from there.
What's a switch comb?
So oh, you know, a switch blade.
Yeah.
But instead, it's a comb.
Mm. You also roll your cigarettes up in your sleeves?
Don't you?
No, I keep them in my waistband so people don't try to steal them.
Yeah, stay away from my Lucy's.
Exactly.
Nice.
Oh, God. But yeah, Ryan Gosling takes the case or whatever, and they start on this, like, crazy adventure, which we could delve more into, but it's kind of convoluted as they go in.
It is weird and convoluted.
Like, it's kind of hard to explain.
I think at one point, a kid on his bike asked them to pay him
to see his penis.
Dick.
Yes.
Your word, not mine.
Both words, yes. Yeah, it was because, like, after they get some information, they find out that, like, Amelia's boyfriend worked on, like, a movie or something. He worked on, like, adult movies or whatever. And, like, the kid tried to, like, get a part in the movies. And, like, he was like, I wanted to show him my dick so I could get a part in his movie. But he was like, no. And then he's like, you guys want to see my dick? And they're like, no, get out of here.
$20. I already gave you $20. What am I saying?
Yeah, he's like...
I love Ryan Gosling in this movie.
He's so funny in this movie. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, goodness. But, yeah, they get some more information. Basically, they're going to head to a party that night or whatever that... I can't. It was like something Shattuck or whatever, which is the director of a bunch of like adult films having a party. So they're gonna go there to ask some questions, and again, like as soon as they get there, like Ryan Gosling, you know, two different reactions. Russell Crowe gets offered a drink. He sets it down. Ryan Gosling's like, yeah, sure, downs it or whatever. It's like, and we slowly start to see that. Oh, he's an alcoholic.
Don't forget, Ryan Gosling's daughter is also there.
Wait, because she...
Hiding in the trunk.
That was funny, see? Like, she... Like, they get out of his car or whatever, and he's about to give his keys to the valet, and he hears some banging from his trunk, and he opens it up, and it's his daughter, and she's like, look, I'm already here, you should just let me come in, and he just shuts the door on her, goes to hand his keys to the valet.
I can't take your car like this.
And Ryan Gosling's like, calls a taxi. Oh, God. But, yeah, they're in the party or whatever, asking questions and stuff. Well, Russell Crowe's asking questions, you know, investigating. Ryan Gosling's just drunk and fucking around. And
oh, completely.
I wish I could recall his dialogue. Like, he's just talking gibberish to people. It is so funny.
Well, he has, like, that dyslexic talking where his words are all jumbled up together. And he doesn't know how to ask a... you know, a normal question, and everyone is just, like, laughing at him. I think at one point he's swimming in the pool with the mermaids. There are also mermaids in this.
There are also mermaids.
Fantasy aspect of this film.
Exactly. And then we realize the daughter somehow snuck out of the taxi and is at the party because Russell Crowe walks in on her and a bunch of people watching a pornographic film. And Russell Crowe immediately begins to try to beat the crap out of the guy in the room.
And does.
Yeah.
Well, one punch from Russell Crowe, that usually does it.
Well, it's Russell Crowe, man. Haven't you seen Russell Crowe get into fights?
Are you not entertained, Chris?
I'm very entertained by Russell Crowe.
Of course.
But, yeah, so he finds her or whatever, but he just kind of allows her to, like, stay, and he goes to go look for other stuff or whatever, and she's, like, investigating and doing a better job than either of these men.
She is so much more competent than both of them at investigating.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where it's like, she seems a lot more competent, obviously, than, like, Ryan Gosling. But even Russell Crowe was, like, playing this a lot straighter than Ryan Gosling. Like, she's just better at this somehow.
Well, I mean, somehow it's just working. She just keeps asking questions to people, and she keeps figuring things out.
Yeah. Because, like, she's pretending that, like, she's, like, Amelia's sister or whatever. And that does help her till a certain point. And that point being that some girl leads her to a limousine, which has the white thug who has all that
blue face.
All right, from now on, we're going to call him Blueface.
Yes. Well, Blueface won't last long. Spoilers.
That's surprising. Blueface won't last long. But, yeah, and then...
Busted.
Jesus. And then Ryan Gosling is, like, messing around with this woman saying, like, I'm an actor, too. And he's like, watch. And he, like, pretends to get, like, shot by her until he falls over a railing and rolls down a hill and, like, loses his gun. And as he's looking for his gun, he finds a dead body at the bottom of the hill.
He also finds Amelia.
And then Russell Crowe comes down there to help him. And he's like, look. And it's, like, he shows him the dead body or whatever. And he's like... Oh my God, we gotta get out of here. He's like, no, we gotta move the body. And he's like, why? It's like, some girl saw me down here. Like, there's this dead body. My gun's missing. It's like, we gotta move this body. And Russell Crowe's like, all right, okay, I got a plan. First off, I'm gonna go puke. Then we're gonna move the body. they're like, good plan. They both puke.
I'm not sure how moving the body helps in this situation.
Dude, exactly. But it's so funny because they take the body and they just hurl it over a fence.
Like, oh, thank goodness, that's taken care of.
Cutscene, smashes into the table, this other party, you just hear screams.
Run. Run!
Oh, God. They get back to the party, and, like, Russell Crowe runs back into Keith David, who was like, the black thug from the night before, and they start fighting. And then the daughter's being kidnapped, and Ryan Gosling goes after her.
Steals a car.
Russell Crowe wins his fight with Keith David, and he's like, Keith David's like, look, you let me go, you'll never see me again. And he's like, all right, where are you going? It's like, Michigan. It's like, that's far enough, all right.
We'll see him again.
We will. Oh, my goodness. But now the chase is on, like, you know, the dude, Blueface, is after Amelia. She, like, ran away. And then Russell Crowe's after Blueface because he's got his daughter. And doesn't he get like, oh my goodness, Blueface catches up to the daughter and Amelia, but luckily he gets hit by a car.
He gets hit by a truck.
It's like a, like, yeah, like a van, like a really big van.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, the van slows down, and, like, the girls go to run into it, and the dude's like, oh, shit. And then he keeps driving.
Like... Got some real, some real I Know What You Did Last Summer vibes from that scene.
Reminded me of Scary Movie. But yeah, and then, goodness, a really nice scene. Like, the daughter's like, hey, we need to help him. And Amelia's like, fuck that. That guy's trying to kill us. We need to get out of here. Which I'm like, I agree with.
I was about to say, you're just like her.
Yeah, oh, you're going to go help the person who's trying to murder you?
Maybe not Blueface.
Okay. goodness. But yeah, and then Russell Crowe shows up to see that she's trying to, like, help him. And he sends her off to, like, go flag down a car. And he's talking to Blueface. And Blueface is like, ha ha ha, man, we're going to kill all you guys. We're going to kill him, his daughter, you, everybody you care about. You're all going to die. And Russell Crowe's like, yeah, but, you know, you're going to die first. And, like, grabs a rag and puts it over his mouth and just chokes him to death.
Kind of hardcore for this movie.
Very hardcore scene for this movie. But I like it. I think it was a good choice. It, like, really showed...
It got real dark real quick.
Got real dark real quick, and it really shows you who this character is. Like, you know, he's, like, a good person, but at the same time, he's willing to do some pretty dark things.
Do anything.
So, yeah. So, after Russell Crowe murders Blueface in cold blood... the cops show up and everything to take his body away, and they meet Amelia's mother, or at least someone who works for her, and they go to meet her mother. And apparently she works for the Justice Department in Michigan, and she's been looking for her daughter because she's in danger, and people in the government are after her because she knows some information that she shouldn't know.
She knows too much.
Exactly. Noir. The woman who knew too much. Or, wait, the man who knew too much? Is that a spy movie?
I don't know what movie you're talking about.
Man, we really don't know enough about movies.
We really don't.
Who would listen to this?
Freaks. Ross.
Oh, God. Okay. But, yeah, Amelia's mother hires them to go and find Amelia. And I do love this because, like, Ryan Gosling's like, this is going to be a lot of work. And
this is a big job.
And, like, you see her take it, I was like, I understand, I'm willing to pay a top dollar. You see her start to write $10,000, and he's like, we won't do it for less than $5,000.
And she just crumbles that up, rips it in half. It's like, right, $5,000. Ryan Gosling looks so proud of himself.
He looks at Russell Crowe like, I got us, dude. And Russell Crowe's like, oh, nice job.
I'm the top negotiator.
Russell Crowe's probably thinking, like, I would have done this for, like, maybe $2,000. Like, oh, God. But, yeah, so they head out to go find Amelia, and they have a clue that they think that she's at a hotel. So they head to the hotel, and, oh, my goodness, this is two great, really funny things happen. They go to the bar or whatever, and they're, like, asking the guy if they've seen Amelia, he's seen Amelia. And he's like, maybe you could refresh my memory. And, like, Ryan Gosling's like, yeah, sure, he'll refresh your memory. And Russell Crowe grabs...
Well, it's more like, oh, yeah, he'll make it stop. Make what stop? And he, like, grabs him by, like, the tie or something and just slams his head against the counter.
Yep.
Make that stop.
That's like, fine, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, she went upstairs. Yeah, but she went up with a bunch of scary dudes. You guys shouldn't go up there. Just wait down here, have some free drinks on me, and, you know, you'll be good. In this moment, I was thinking, like, oh, he's in on something. Like, he's giving these guys, these assholes, free drinks after they just assaulted him. Like, but surprisingly, he's not.
I don't understand the bartender's motives here. Exactly. In the film.
It's weird. I know. This reminds me of Sharknado, me getting invested in these these characters. I need to understand their motivation, Jack.
See, I knew he was a good guy, because for Ryan Gosling, he opened up another high life, so. It's good in my book.
And Ryan Gosling's book.
I love him.
But then we go to, like, the next best part where, like, Russell Crowe is like, what if she's in danger? She might need us. And Ryan Gosling's finally like, all right, sure, we'll go up there. And they head up to the floor, and immediately as they walk onto the floor, they see a dude get shot, like, and die. And they just see, like, oh, they hear yelling and stuff, and they immediately go back into the elevator, like, hit the button to close the door.
They're going back down, not speaking, almost like nothing had ever happened. Quick cut to them in the car, just right. Speeding out.
This one thing, while they're going down, there's, like, a back, like, window to the elevator.
Oh, yeah.
And you just hear a window smash and see one of, like, the guards, like, falling. And I like this because it's subversion, because, like, you know, you usually would expect to see the beginning of the scene where whoever's attacking or whatever. But, like, these are our heroes. These are, like, our, like, windows into the scene. They're coming in halfway through, and they're like, no, we're not getting involved. This is crazy. And it's a very normal thing to do.
I mean, you also expect your heroes to, you know, get in there and kick ass, and they're like, nope, I'm leaving. Like,
this is a realistic kind of thing, like, where it's like, nope, not doing that.
I feel
that.
Like this is what you and I would do in this situation.
Yes, this is exactly what... Jack, we're not... let's go jump into, like, a fucking murder spree. Like, we'll do something if we have to. Like these guys.
I'm Ryan Gosling, aren't I?
In this situation. Oh, yeah, no, definitely. You're definitely Ryan Gosling.
Oh, no. Why are you always the good characters? Damn it!
Morally good characters.
Damn it!
That is funny for a reason that not many people will understand.
Damn it. This reflects really well on you. Better than it should.
Jack, these stories and TV shows just don't, you know, reflect real characters well enough to really capture who we are as people, Jack. They only capture the outer lens of what we are and who we are. They can't see inside.
Which one of us is Sydney?
Jack, neither of us is Sydney. Jesus Christ.
I know.
We'll be lucky.
I'm Stu. God damn it.
Yep. Oh, God, my Billy? Jesus Christ, no. I'm
surely,
not.
Right?
Maybe. I don't know. Me, personally...
You're more into the whole, like, movie thing than I am.
I'm very... Yeah, yeah, okay. In that situation, I would be Billy and you'd be Stu, probably.
It's gonna be a scream!
Because these days, you gotta plan a sequel! We gotta do that. That's Halloween. Oh, Jesus. Okay. All right.
Plus, I'm taller.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, my God. All right. Okay, so, yeah, they're, like you said, they're heading out. They're just zooming out in their car. And again, Russell Crowe's like, what if she's in danger and needs our help? And Ryan Gosling's like, what are you talking about? She's probably dead. Let's get out of here. And you just see, you just hear a thud on the top of the car or whatever.
I don't know how this part makes sense.
Bruh, it's like that scene from How I Met Your Mother where, like, Marshall jumps out of his window and lands into the back alley and goes to the bar.
He made that part up. Just like everyone made this part up in the movie. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I see no fire escapes or anything. She just lands on the car. And then her immediate response when she sees them is to try to shoot them, which I guess I can understand. She doesn't know them that well, and people have been trying to kill her.
Well, I mean, considering earlier, you know, Ryan Gosling saw her and was like, don't worry, you know, hello, like, I'm just looking for my gun, just give me a second, like.
Well, that, and he was, like, following her at the beginning of the movie.
That is also true.
So I can understand her doing this. But yeah, but the recoil messes with her, and she flies off the back of the car and knocks herself out. And they're like, huh, lucky us. And they just pick her up, put her in the car, and they tell her mom that they, like, well, they tell the mom's assistant that they found Amelia or whatever, and they take her back to their place. And Amelia drops the whole thing on them, like, how her mother, though she works in the Justice Department, is, like, you know, corrupt and is, like, helping out the, like, car companies hide that, you know, their exhaust systems have been polluting the air of, you know, the country, and that she talked about all of this in her pornographic film that she made.
it doesn't sound very good coming from her. Especially because she's like, oh, like, it's the system, man. Like, the man is trying to keep us down, like.
Well, of course, like, it is, like, she's, like, you know, this, like, teenage girl, basically, that's talking about the man and the system, and, like, she's, like, a hippie. Like, Ryan Gosling doesn't believe her at all. Like, he's, like, she's crazy. Like,
once again, love that. They walk out there, and he's, like, she's insane.
Yeah. Russell Crowe's, like, I don't know, maybe. He's, like, no, come on. That story, it's ridiculous. Why would her mother be trying to kill her? And, like, Ryan... Russell Crowe does this whole story where he's, like... We know there's, like, this time where, like, you know, a guy got into a car wreck, and then he saw President Nixon come out of the car and help him or whatever. The guy wasn't President Nixon, but, you know, from his perspective, when he was dying, he thought he was, but he wasn't. And Ryan Gosling says, so you're saying there's, like, two sides to every story? He's like, yeah, just say that. Why'd you do that whole
story? Why'd you give me the whole story?
It's just, that's the point. Say that. He's like, what, you didn't like my story? And he's like, oh, I mean, like...
That's when I realized that I was Ryan Gosling.
Oh, God. Lucky you. I'd rather be Ryan Gosling. What was it? But, yeah. So, they call the, like, secretary or whatever to tell her that they found the girl. And she's like, awesome. I need you guys to do something for me. I need you to deliver some money. So, they go and get, like, a bunch of money from her and, like, or taking it to deliver it to a place.
Already extremely suspicious. Like,
extremely suspicious.
Why? Like, they didn't even ask, like, why they're doing this. Like
it kind of makes it, like, you know, Ryan Gosling's, like, an idiot. And, like, he's infatuated with his secretary. So, kind of makes
he
sense.
He is, which is so funny.
Yes. Russell Crowe, on the other hand.
He keeps trying to, like, impress her and shit.
Yeah, it's like, hey, so, you know, because when they go to pick up the money, he's like, yeah, I know you called, like, me, but, like, he wanted to come along for some reason. Sorry about that. So, can I get, like, your information? Like, and she's just not...
My guy.
She's not engaging it. But, dude, one of the next best scenes, they're, like, driving off or whatever to, like, deliver this money. And, like, Ryan Gosling is, like, dazing in and out of it and stuff. And, like, he looks over at Russell Crowe and sees him putting, like, a gun... like, into his, like, a foot holster or whatever, and he's like, yeah, this is just in case. And he's like, hey, I'm getting pretty tired. I'm going to need you to take over, so I'm going to pull over real quick. And he's like, take over? The car will drive itself. Just let go. And Ryan Gosling's looking at him, and he looks at the wheel, and he just lets go. And the car starts driving itself. And he's like, huh, I didn't know it could do that. And then, like, Russell Crowe's like, yeah, it always could. And then out of nowhere... a gigantic talking bee appears in the backseat of the car, voiced by Hannibal Buress. Smoking a cigarette. I think talking about the air quality. And then you just hear Russell Crowe yelling, like, wake up! Oh, God.
That's my least favorite scene.
You don't like that scene?
I don't like that scene. I like that scene leading up to the bee being there. I hate that bee. I hate the constant mention of bees in this movie. It pisses me off.
Interesting. I loved it, but that's okay.
It just seems so stupid to me. Like, this is completely unnecessary. I know it's a comedy movie or whatever. Some people are going to find it funny, but I did not find this scene funny, like, at all.
That's fine. I know it could feel like a tonal shift for the movie, but I liked it because it was out of nowhere.
The most surrealist element of this movie was Amelia falling onto their car up to this point. And then all of a sudden, he's dreaming and all this weird stuff is happening. It's like...
That's a good point. Her falling into the car is more unbelievable than this. Because this is a hallucination. That actually happened.
Well, that's a dream.
Exactly.
Are dream and hallucinations the same thing?
Oh, similar.
Hmm.
I'd say it's closer to, like, it is a dream, but the fact that he's dreaming about what's happening right then kind of makes me border into hallucination. But whatever, dream hallucination, it's not real.
Chris, what are dreams?
No, we're not doing Inception. That's not today.
Not yet.
Not now. So they figure out that after they crash that the bag is full of fake money and it's a trap. So they head back to the
house. It's a trap!
It's a trap. So they head back to the house. They find that there's this guy there, the assassin from earlier that was murdering all those guys, has come to take care of Amelia and all of them.
But I don't know who this actor is, but he looks so much like an assassin, it's scary.
Yes.
Like, actually, when I saw him, I was like, oh, he's gonna kill someone, like.
Well, he looks like a CIA assassin or something. Like, he looks like a double agent or all that stuff, like.
Great casting, whoever that guy is.
Can't think of his name. He used to be on a show called White Collar about a thief who goes straight to help the cops or whatever. You know, one of those millions of random police procedurals.
You remember the guy in Austin Powers who had the mole?
Yeah, Fred Savage.
Yeah, he kind of looked like him without the mole. With longer hair, though.
And better looking.
And better looking.
Yeah.
The better looking part is why he looks like a killer, am I right?
If looks could kill.
Oh, God.
All right. So much editing.
That part stays in. I demand it. Not that I'll ever hear it.
Jack, you gotta listen to an episode first before you can demand things to stay in.
Damn it. How is that fair?
It's completely fair. All
damn
right.
You.
So he's trying to kill the girls or whatever that are there. It's the daughter and her friend. And Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe show back up and start, you know, getting into it with him. Amelia dips because that seems like a fair response to, you know, the house being shot up. And the cops start to show up, so the assassin runs off. And in a scene that I find very funny, Amelia walks onto the street and sees a car coming. And she's, like, waving it down, and she asks for help. And it's the assassin. He's like, oh, it's my lucky day. And he just shoots her and drives off.
What a guy.
It's too good. Too good. So they're all, like, defeated. Ryan Gosling's house is destroyed. And he's willing to just, like, you know, say screw it or whatever, but luckily they're able to piece together because, what is it, the aunt or the grandma of the case that Ryan Gosling was originally on involving that porn star from the beginning.
We never mentioned that. But
we never mentioned.
Watch the movie, like.
We never, oh God, sorry, that was in the last recording, wasn't it?
Who cares, watch the movie. Damn it, we don't have to do all the heavy lifting here. Like, there's a plot. Pay attention.
I'm sorry, Ross.
No, Ross. Fuck you, Ross. Watch the movie.
So, yeah. So, luckily, this woman comes that was part of one of Ryan Gosling's earlier cases. And, because she was convinced her daughter, her granddaughter was still alive. And she takes them to her house, and apparently what she saw was a recording of her granddaughter in the pornographic film that has all this, like, you know, conspiracy information in it. And they realize that another kid from earlier has the film, is planning on showing it at the car expo later that night in L.A. Somehow also, though, what was it, the, like, Justice Department goons also figure this out. And that the guy's going to try to show it at that, like, performance. I don't know how they figure it out. Because they have a bunch of people there ready to, like, find him and stop him from, like, showing the movie.
They're just smart.
They're just smart.
I mean, they're just figuring things out, like.
Well, no.
There are a lot of loose ends, I mean, like.
Well, see, it makes sense that Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe figure it out, but not that the bad guys figure it out.
Well, I mean, they know that they haven't killed everyone involved yet.
Yeah, and that would make sense to have, like, security and stuff, but they're actively looking for, well, I guess, maybe they, it just,
Well, I mean, they probably figured that Amelia with this director was probably making something like this. I mean, that's why they burned down the director's house and killed him.
Well, that's the thing, like, it makes sense that, it even makes sense that they'd still be looking for this guy who was on the crew, but not that they would be looking for another tape. They burned down the whole house that had all the original footage and stuff in it. It's just a random loose end.
Chris, I have no response to this. I don't know how to explain this. Damn it, this is comedy. It's not everything needs to be explained.
I know, dude, but we're, you know, we literally look at this show critically all the time.
Are we critics now, Chris?
We're not critics.
We actually are, because we review movies and then we give ratings at the end of it.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
No. Terrible. Okay, forget it. But yeah, so they're gonna head to that expo that night to, like, get the tape or whatever. Why? Who knows? I think they're just dedicated to this case for some reason now, even though I'm pretty sure their employers tried to kill them, and the girl they're protecting is dead.
Well, at least Russell Crowe understands that if they don't do this, like, they're going to be murdered anyway.
Oh, I guess, yeah, they do know about it.
Because he never mentions that, because Blueface told him this earlier.
Oh, yeah, because Blueface says, like, the assassin's going to come after all of them. Like, I guess it makes sense that maybe if they can get this information, they can use it to protect themselves or make a deal of some sort. Yeah, you're right. It's a comedy. I'm gonna let go of looking at this too
critically. Just let it slide.
I'm just gonna let it slide. You know, it's
Blues whatever. Brothers is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, Chris.
Oh my god!
It doesn't make any sense from beginning to end. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're there, and they head up to, like, the showing area because the guy's a projectionist, so, like, he will, like, project the film. So they're looking around, like, the projection room for the film when the secretary comes in and, like, pulls a gun on her. He is still hitting on her, like, actively when she has a gun on them, and it's like, come on. And then, like, someone knocks at the door. And, like, Ryan Gosling's like, oh, I wonder who that could be. And she turns around, and Ryan Gosling drops to the floor to go to Russell Crowe's leg to grab his gun. And you just see him, like, pulling up his, like, his pant leg, looking around, like, what's your
what
gun?
What are you doing?
He's like, your gun, you know, the one that you keep in your ankle holster? He's like, what?
I don't have an ankle gun.
Yeah. It's like, but you showed me. And he's like, wait, was I asleep when that happened?
You were asleep when that happened.
And then they let in the, like, bellhop, and it's, like, the daughter. And the daughter grabs a container of coffee and throws it at the secretary, and it's cold. And she's like...
The secretary's like, why did you do that? She's like, I thought it was hot.
And she's like, get over there. And she's like, oh, God. She's just, like, so pissed. And luckily, the coffee got all over the floor, so she slips on her heels and, like, knocks herself out.
Yeah, she, like, hits the end table with her head and knocks herself out.
Oh, okay.
Incredibly lucky things happen to our main characters in this story.
Mm-hmm. Dude,
if this was a serious film, if this was a noir, per se, we'd hate this movie.
Oh, dude. Well, yeah, no. Looking at it now critically in certain areas, yeah, it wouldn't make a bunch of sense, but it is a comedy, you're right. Oh, goodness. But yeah, they didn't figure out that, like, the film's actually spliced into, like, the normal film that they're going to be showing at the expo, so they're all going after the film that's still in the projector, and the assassin's also going after it, and the secretary, they're all just going after it, and a bunch of hijinks ensue in which they're, like, fighting with, you know, the security there and the assassin and everyone involved. I don't know, do you want to get more technical than that? Oh, well.
The old guy shows up.
He gets the daughter and, like, they head up to the roof.
Old guy is Blueface's partner, if you're confused.
We
looked it up.
Well, yeah, he's called Old Guy in the script. This is the guy that we were calling Black Guy. He's also old.
So they just refer to him as the old guy.
Are we racist?
I feel like you're only asking me.
So old guy takes something to the roof. And Ryan Gosling shows up and he's like drunk. And the old guy's like, oh my god, you drunk piece of shit. Why are you messed up? Why'd you bring your daughter here? Like, he's like, I didn't want to have to kill a kid. Like, this is messed up, man. And Ryan Gosling, luckily for once, is not wasted. He is drunk. And overpowers the old guy. Gets his gun.
You mean he's sober?
No, he's drunk.
He's not drunk.
Oh, yes, he is. He's been drinking. There's an open bar. I cut it because it's not important, but he's been drinking this whole time.
He hasn't been drinking. That's the whole point.
No, he's been drinking.
He's pretending like he's drunk.
he's been drinking. Maybe he's not drunk, but he's been drinking. There's a scene where, like, someone offers him a drink at this party thing or whatever, and he's like, oh, no, thanks. It's free of charge. It's open bar. He's like, open bar. And he just starts, he's like, yeah, and he starts drinking.
Yeah, he's like that, but I don't ever see him drinking.
That, but that's what they insinuate. That's like he
pretends. That's what they insinuate, so they pretend.
So you would assume that he's drunk. But he has been drinking, and I do think he's drunk. I don't think he's so fucked up that he's, like, falling all over the place. But he's been drinking.
I actually don't think he's drunk at all.
Really?
Really. I think that's part of his character growth, actually. If there is any character growth in this film.
You're giving big aspirations to this, but... Possibly. That is possible. It could be insinuated that maybe...
We'll figure it out later.
Yeah. But yeah, so and then he shoots old guy and he falls off the roof with old guy. But luckily, old guy hits the pavement and he falls into a pool. And he runs back into Russell Crowe.
You know, that would probably still kill you.
Yes. The surface tension of the water, it would probably at least break your bones.
Like, I ain't no science bitch, but I'm pretty sure, like, that would pretty much kill you. Whatever. Movie magic. This always happens in action films.
I guess, let's see, like, we'd have to myth bust that shit, dude. I'd have to get into, like, calculating whatever, but so.
We'd have to throw one of us off a roof into a pool.
One of us?
One of us.
God. But yeah, and then, like, he runs back into Russell Crowe, and Russell Crowe's like, what are you doing? I told you to go onto the roof. And he's like, yeah, yeah, it's like, did you fall off the roof again? And he's saying to Russell Crowe's like,
yes!
I think I might be invincible.
I cannot die.
Which, I mean, after everything that's happened, I might believe that as well.
Chris, I think I've said something like this to you before.
You have. You said it multiple times.
I knew it was Ryan Gosling.
Oh, my God. God. I feel like I got gypped in this partnership. Let's see.
Whatever, you're the badass. I'm just the funny, the handsome, charming one.
Yeah, I'll take that over badass.
Whatever.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, so there, I'm trying to get my hands on the plot. If you can see what I'm doing right now, guys.
He is moving his hands quite a bit.
But, yeah, so, and there's a whole, like, shootout and stuff. They're all going for the tape. Russell Crowe starts fighting the assassin. And he overpowers him. And he goes to, like, kill him. And the daughter shows up. She's like, don't kill him, please. And he's like, fine, it's your lucky day. And he spares him or whatever. And they go down to, like, help Ryan Gosling. And I legitimately, did the assassin die?
No.
No.
Gotcha. No, he did not.
Gotcha. All right, so just got arrested.
He did get arrested. And it's because the daughter was like, if you kill him, I'll never talk to you again, Russell Crowe.
See, I remember that, but I also remember, like, someone pulled, like, a latch on his, like, grenade. Like, the dude also has, like, a vest of grenades. And then they exploded, right? Was that not on him? Was that on somebody else?
No, wait, that was on him. No, but... He threw the jacket away.
Okay, so someone else blew up.
Yeah. Okay. No, no one blew up.
No one blew up?
I think that was with Ryan Gosling. I don't remember this movie, Chris, as well as we should, like.
Oh, God.
I'm pretty sure Whiteface lived.
I'm so sorry, Ross.
Damn it, Ross. Watch the movie.
Oh, God. So, yeah, so Ryan Gosling secures the film, Russell Crowe and the daughter head down, everything's good, the police show up and arrest a bunch of people, besides these guys for some reason, and then we cut to...
You'd think they'd be arrested.
You would, yeah, but...
Once again, comedy movie.
Comedy.
If you're in a comedy movie, you don't get arrested no matter what, or an action movie.
Yeah, oh, of course I do, especially not an action movie, you're just doing your job. And no matter how many people, civilians, protesters, or children get in your way, you're just doing your job. Did I say children?
You remember when the Avengers killed all those people?
Collateral damage.
I remember.
They're doing their job. I remember. But
it's
yeah.
about the job!
You think they're my friends because they know my name?
Love that. Love that so much.
Such a good movie. Okay, but yeah, so they head to like, I'm guessing like a train station or something, some building, and they meet up with Amelia's mom, who's talking to them about like, basically they made like a deal or whatever.
Where did you say they met up at?
Like a station of some sort?
Yeah, a police station.
So it was a police station?
Yeah.
Okay. I knew it was a
station. Because she's being investigated. She's going down.
Gotcha.
For serious crime.
And they allow, you know what, comedy film. I'm not going to get into that. Forget
about
it.
I was going to do the same thing, but I got myself as well.
Yes, all right. But yeah, so they talked to her or whatever, and like they like basically made a deal about the film because they turned it over and stuff and everything. But it's basically like, she's like, I didn't want to hurt my daughter. I was just trying to keep her safe or whatever. And Ryan Gosling makes a Nazi joke to her, like calling her like Adolf Hitler and stuff. Like she's just doing her job or something. That's what she said.
Chris, I keep wanting to make jokes.
I know, but hold it in. We're almost there. And basically she's like, you know, just because I'm going down doesn't mean someone else is going to step in, and doesn't mean other things aren't just going to go on as they usually do. And we find out that she's right. Because in the next scene, they read the newspaper, and like almost everyone involved in this whole conspiracy, all the companies, are not being held accountable. No one's going to jail. No one's even paying a fine or anything that they kept this like exhaust system promise.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling goes to console Russell Crowe, and Ryan Gosling, his whole thing is, oh, at least you're drinking again.
Yeah. Because he's an alcoholic. He also orders a drink. Oh, God. But yeah.
But then they start their own investigation business.
Russell Crowe's like, my guy. No, Ryan Gosling,
my guy.
Your guy looks a little like he's like Mexican or something, but you know, it's whatever.
But Chris, what is their team called?
The Nice Guys.
Roll credits.
Hey. Oh, my goodness, we're finished. All right. The Nice Guys, we did not do it justice. This movie is so funny. It's so good. You should definitely watch it. I would recommend
it. We did not describe this well at all.
No. I didn't realize that until going into it, how much is actually in this movie. Like, there's a lot to discuss. It's kind of like,
this was a big fear of mine going into this, was how much was in this movie.
Yes.
And how much you were talking about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, like.
Dude, like, it wasn't until we started, like, really diving into it, I was like, oh, shit, there's a bunch of crap in this movie that I haven't even thought about. And it kind of reminds me of Me, Myself, and Irene, like I said, maybe in the previous one or this one, where it's like, it's very funny, and there's a lot of funny things to talk about, but the saving grace of Me, Myself, and Irene is that the plot is like, you know, superficial. It doesn't
matter. It's secondary.
Exactly. So we don't even really talk about it. But here, the plot's actually very important to like what's happening.
But they are so funny about it.
Yes. It's an hysterical movie. You will be laughing all the time. It's one of those movies where, like, the humor is very much built into the dialogue. And, you know, we, like, remembered as much as we could and stuff, but, like, we're not going to say everything verbatim that this movie said.
I mean, even if we tried, we, you know, couldn't do it justice.
No.
Kind of like Me, Myself, and Irene.
Exactly. That is very similar in that
way.
I
mean, shoot. What we tried to do with Me, Myself, and Irene was trying to repeat every joke that we remembered, like.
Dude, exactly. See, because that one is another one, like, we went linearly, but we didn't really do plot. We were just saying jokes, like, jokes as they happen.
Remember when we were just going to talk about what we liked about this movie?
Yeah, I remember that.
I remember.
So, what would you rate it?
What would I rate it?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm probably going to give it, like, an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10? I think I'd go 8.5 out of 10.
I mean, it's just such a great comedy. Like,
yes.
It's so funny. I absolutely recommend this movie. Once again, this is by far the best movie that has been recommended to us to review.
Oh, definitely. Like, no offense, The Shining.
I mean, yeah, The Shining, but everyone knows The Shining is so good.
Yeah, this one's like a sleeper kind of movie that like not a lot of people know about, surprisingly.
Except you didn't know why The Shining was so good.
God damn it. But yeah, so as always, there'll be a link at the bottom of this podcast for you to submit suggestions for movies. I usually try to keep a tally in my head of where we are with suggestions. Don't have that on me at this moment. Might be like a month and a half to get to something. But still send in those suggestions. Why not?
Yeah, shoot. We'll do it. We've done all of them so far.
We have.
Amazingly, we've not skipped over any of them.
No, we haven't.
We did Hell Comes to Frogtown, Chris.
We did.
With a name like that.
Though the movie was what it was, I appreciate watching it. It's one of those movies that's like, it's the first time I've ever watched a movie like that.
I can't believe it's a real movie.
It felt like they tried to mix TMNT with like a porno and like just didn't get the good parts of either.
I definitely didn't finish
the movie.
No, I finished the movie.
God damn it. Well, I'm definitely putting explicit on this podcast.
There was barely any cursing. We said porn, like, maybe once, I think. Maybe twice now.
Maybe. But, yeah. So, yeah, also go rate us 5 stars on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, maybe Apple Podcasts at some point.
Or don't. Criticize us.
Or, I guess, criticize us.
Don't we can take the heat.
As long as you watch the listen to the episodes, honestly.
As long as you're only criticizing him and not me. Am I right, guys?
Alrighty. Alrighty. Well, as always, I'm Chris.
And I'm Jack.
And we watch movies.
Sometimes.